Hey everybody, and welcome to another My JavaScript Story. This week we're talking to Javan Makhmali. I totally killed your name, didn't I?
You got the last name perfect, which is the hardest one. Just Javan, first
Javan.
Name. Yep.
Awesome. I think I probably did it wrong on the episode you were on.
No, actually, I think that one was right.
Okay.
I usually remember.
This episode is sponsored by Sentry.io. Recently, I came across a great tool for tracking and monitoring problems in my apps. Then I asked them if they wanted to sponsor the show and allow me to share my experience with you. Sentry provides a terrific interface for keeping track of what's going on with my app. It also tracks releases so I can tell if what I deployed makes things better or worse. They give full stack traces and as much information as possible about the situation when the error occurred to help you track down the errors. Plus, one thing I love, you can customize the context provided by Sentry. So, if you're looking for specific information about the request, you can provide it. It automatically scrubs passwords and secure information, and you can customize the scrubbing as well. Finally, it has a user feedback system built in that you can use to get information from your users. Oh, and I also love that they support open source to the point where they actually open sourced Sentry if you want to self-host it. Use the code DevChat at Sentry.io to get 2 months free on Sentry's small plan. That's code DevChat at Sentry.io.
Anyway, you came on and you talked to us about Trix, which is a text editor. I think it's the one you said that is used in Basecamp.
That's correct.
Fun stuff there. I was just thinking, this is going to be fun just to see where this goes, because Basecamp is kind of notoriously written in Ruby on Rails. And so, it'll be interesting to hear your story and how you came around to writing all this stuff. Do you want to give us just a brief introduction, though? Tell us who you are, where you work, why you're well-known, all that stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. So Javan Makhmali, like you said, I'm a programmer at Basecamp, where I've worked for almost 9 years, and I've been doing web development for probably going on 15 now. And my role as a programmer over those years has, like a lot of people, gravitated towards JavaScript to the point where it's the primary language that I work in now, although still a lot of Ruby on Rails. And I'll talk about that whole progression more as we get into it. But the bulk of my programming and JavaScript experience has been at Basecamp.
Nice. Very cool. I used to want to work at Basecamp. Now what I'm happened? Pretty happy doing what I'm doing. So
it's a great place to work.
That's what I've heard. I've heard that from a number of people who've been there. Let's go ahead and start at the very beginning, and then we'll kind of work our way, through your development history. How did you get into programming?
I don't know. I don't want to say I stumbled onto it, because it was somewhat of an intentional path. But, I'd been always interested in technology as a kid and growing up, high school, et cetera. But I didn't really get into programming until I decided to try a program at my community college here in Ann Arbor that was, I don't want to say computer science, but it was a technical track towards sort of professional web development. And it turned out to be great, and it clicked with the way my brain worked. And so much so that I decided to pursue a computer science degree at a four-year state college here, and that did not click with me. I ended up dropping out after a year. Wasn't so much the computer science part, it was just the whole education program. I don't know. It wasn't working for me, and I had started to pick up freelance work and just decided to see how far I could go without going to more school.
Makes sense. I have a computer engineering degree, and I did a lot of work that I didn't have to do to get that degree.
I mean, we're really fortunate to work in an industry where you don't really need to go to school. If it's helpful, that's great. And there's a ton of things you can learn in school, but you can also learn a ton on the job, reading books, learning online, et cetera.
Yeah, I kind of make the point with a lot of people that some people need 4 years of structured learning in order to be, I guess, prepared to hold down a full-time job doing software development. And some people need a 3-month boot camp to figure out what they're doing, another 3 months to get their feet really good and wet, and then they're fine. So
yeah, it's incredible. I know people who have done, 8-week boot camps and started their career's over, found jobs right after. Who knows how long that'll last in our history, but it's pretty incredible that you can do that now.
Yeah. It's also interesting that people try to generalize one way or the other, that one way is better than the other. And instead of just recognizing that some people are going to thrive one way versus the other.
Sure.
So you start finding freelance clients. Was it mostly web development or?
Yeah, web development, a lot of, content management tools. I was working in PHP mostly. Mm-hmm. This is like, I don't know, early 2000s or mid 2000s, I guess. And then I don't know where exactly, but I heard about Ruby on Rails and started taking an interest in it and started building toy projects, and then kind of shifted that into my freelance career. So I just started building things for clients with Rails instead of PHP. And that I guess decision pretty much altered the path that I'm on now, or set the path. I don't know.
How did you encounter Rails? What was the
plan? I don't remember exactly what, it was probably some blog posts or online news. I don't know. Did Twitter exist then? So I don't remember the spark, but after just kind of starting to read about it and play with it a little bit, it felt like a completely different world from the world I'd come from. There are just things that I kind of assumed that I would have to always build over and over again,
right.
Things that I needed to think about that maybe I didn't need to think about all the time. So Rails kind of pushed all the stuff that I didn't really care about mm-hmm. thinking of that often into the background and let me focus on building stuff.
Right. That makes sense. So you get in, you're learning Rails, you're doing Rails, and then you make another transition. You start doing JavaScript more and more?
Not quite, actually. At that point, I was more focused on Ruby on Rails, that whole ecosystem. I knew enough JavaScript to like get the job done, but it didn't click for me right away, or for a number of years. I knew enough not to make a big mess, but I was mostly, finding jQuery plugins to get stuff done.
And good old days.
And so I ended up working a couple jobs, for a few years professionally working with Rails, and then, applied for a job at Basecamp, which was then known as 37 Signals. And even right away then, I was still mostly doing Rails, but I just JavaScript entered into my, fell on my lap, and the pieces were kind of fell in my lap too in a way that made more sense, along with some people who had been working with JavaScript for a long time. My coworker, Sam Stevenson, who'd been doing JavaScript forever. He knows JavaScript really well, but also he introduced me and our whole development cycle to CoffeeScript. So we're talking, 2012, maybe 2011.
Yeah, that sounds about the time frame that Rails adopted CoffeeScript script as part of the stack.
And CoffeeScript kind of helped make JavaScript click for me. Not just the syntax itself, but I think it was actually viewing the compiled CoffeeScript, which is pretty nice. It's very readable output. Mm-hmm. Helped me understand the language of JavaScript itself. Right. And then that was sort of a self-referencing cycle there where it helped me move forward. And I think a couple of years later, so I was mostly just building, features in Basecamp, doing that. And then around 2013 or 12, Sam and I started building Trix. And that was a year and a half long project for the both of us where it was pretty much the only thing we were working on. And during that time, I probably touched every DOM API that exists, it felt like, and really flexed a lot of JavaScript's quirks, and just came out of that, you know, a year and a half later, feeling like I understood everything. I mean, not everything, but it all really made sense at that point. And I also had grown really fond of the language.
Right. So yeah, so you're picking up CoffeeScript and things are starting to click. You're also digging into the DOM API. I'm a little bit curious, was this an initiative that Basecamp decided that they needed, or was this something that you all decided that you wanted to work on? I'm not sure how you figure out what to work on at Basecamp, I guess is what I'm really asking.
Yeah, this was, it's kind of an unusual project at Basecamp. You know, we don't typically work on tools for that long. Right. We had grown frustrated with WYSIWYG rich text editors that were available. You know, there was a handful of them at the time, and
yep.
They were all frustrating in their own ways. And it was frustrating for our customers, and we'd probably gone through a few iterations of them and just decided now's the time to try building one for ourselves using a new approach, one that isn't new now, but was relatively new then, and it paid off. It's made our lives and the lives of our support team much easier. So historically, they were quirky in the past, inconsistent across browsers, did weird things that you couldn't undo out of or delete, et cetera. And it was hard to give customers a satisfying answer to those problems. And so we wanted to build something where if something broke, we'd understand why and be able to fix it.
Yeah, that is something that I've run into with some of the other editors. Something quirky happens and then you're like, okay, what's not playing nice with this?
Right. Like, why can't I delete this bullet?
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
Yeah, I run into that too. So, yeah. The thing that I believe most about top-notch developers is that they're constantly learning. Whether you're out watching videos, whether you're reading blog posts or books, whether you're out writing open source software, you're always out there learning how to be a better developer. And my friends at Thinkster and I teamed up and we put together a show called the DevEd Podcast. You can find it at devedpodcast.com. It's run by Joe Eames, who you might know from JavaScript Jabber, Adventures in Angular, and Views on Vue. And they have terrific conversations about what it means to become a better developer, to learn how to do development, and the ways that you can learn. So if you're looking for inspiration and ideas about how you can do better and learn better as a developer, then go check out the DevEd Podcast. And so if let's say that you're using Basecamp, or you're going to see this like when you create documents, or is it used in other places too? Or
yeah, pretty much anywhere you're composing prose in Basecamp. So writing comments, messages, it's actually used in our chat tool as the input. Anywhere that we want to accept either rich text with, you know, text with formatting, or integrate attachments into content. So dragging images into a message, dragging files in, et cetera. Those are all handled as rich text attachments via Trix.
Right. Now, we kind of left off the JavaScript conversation talking about CoffeeScript. And if I remember right, in the episode, you actually said that Trix is written in CoffeeScript.
Yeah, that's correct.
So these days, are you doing more CoffeeScript or JavaScript or TypeScript, or how has that transition been? Because CoffeeScript really isn't something that I see promoted as a way to go anymore.
Yeah, we're not writing any new CoffeeScript anymore at Basecamp.
Right.
Trix is still written in CoffeeScript. Some of our older applications are still use CoffeeScript.
Right.
With the latest version of Basecamp 3, we kind of drew the line in the sand and said, okay, new features are going to be written in, it's essentially plain JavaScript, but, you know, Babel transpiled
right.
JavaScript. And New library code at Basecamp is pretty much all being written in TypeScript now. But application code is pretty much the most vanilla ES6. And that's gotcha. TypeScript has been, I'm a big fan, and it works really well for us in the context of libraries mostly. But mm-hmm. when, say, adding features to Basecamp, we have a lot of people writing code, a lot of designers, a lot of programmers. They all write JavaScript, and I don't think it makes sense to bring TypeScript in there, at least not yet, just because it's a learning curve that mm-hmm. doesn't feel necessary that we push onto everyone.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, it's interesting just looking at this and the experience there. How has the open source experience been with this? Because I see that a lot of companies, as they open source things, you know, some get adoption, some don't. There's also usually some feedback from the community, positive, negative, warranted or not. So what's your open source experience been like?
Just in general? Or yeah. Yeah, so overall, really positive. We open source almost everything that we can. Not just JavaScript, but obviously Ruby on Rails came from Basecamp originally. So it's all founded in open source there. I'd say the hardest part about having open source is just really triaging incoming issues. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I'm putting air quotes around issues. It's a difficult line to balance wanting to help people and wanting to say, this isn't an issue, or right. this is, sorry, we can't help you with that. And also reviewing code changes is hard. So, you know, it's like if somebody contributes even a great pull request, it just takes a lot of work to understand the changes and understand the maintenance implications. But overall, I think I've learned kind of to find a healthy balance there where it's okay to not respond to everything. It's okay mm-hmm. If it's okay to just say no, sorry. It's okay to ignore a project for a few months. It's hard because open source just generates a lot of noise, or mm-hmm. not noise in a negative way, just a lot of notifications, for lack right. of a better word. And you still have your job to go to and work to do. and it sometimes feels like that's like extra, right? Yep. Like it's not related to getting your job done necessarily. But I mean, you spend enough time doing it, and if you have enough projects, you just kind of have to learn to be a little bit zen about all of it, I guess.
Yep.
But that said, I guess maybe comparing Trix and a few other JavaScript libraries that we open sourced. I think I mentioned this previously. CoffeeScript was never great as far as open source goes, because a lot of people either have a strong negative reaction to it or right. never learned it. So vanilla JavaScript or even TypeScript, I think, are both better fit for open source in that there's a wider community of developers who will contribute.
Interesting. So is that what you spend most of your time working on these days, or do you have other projects that you're working on now?
It's always been a balance between like working directly on internal applications like Basecamp itself. And some of the work that I do at Basecamp is internal tooling that makes just developers' lives easier. Mm-hmm. And may not be open source. It may just be ergonomics within our applications such that other people can build similar features or reuse existing components, that kind of work. And as far as just focusing on, we tend to have these big pushes in open source that correspond to big pushes on new application work. So when we're building Basecamp 3, we're often kind of in parallel building or extracting or revisiting open source projects, tools, and either in parallel or after the fact, we kind of get it all out there and share everything that's can be extracted. So in that way, we end up with kind of working in these cycles where, you know, new major versions or new big updates to open source stuff at Basecamp often correlates with a new version of some product.
Makes sense. I'm also a little curious. A lot of times we focus a lot on people as far as just, you know, what they've done or their coding, you know, and things like that. And I'm kind of curious just to give people a glimpse into who you are. So outside of the code, outside of the work, you know, what do you do? What do you get passionate about? What do you spend your time on? You know, your living or family situation. You know, what do you like about Ann Arbor? You know, those kinds of things that just kind of give people a well-rounded look at, okay, Javon is more than just this dude that writes tricks, right? He's a person that goes and does everyday stuff and, you know, struggles with maybe the same kinds of balance or life things that the rest of us do.
Yeah. I could share a few things. So for one, kind of the newest addition to my life is we had a daughter almost 2 years ago. So first time parent. And that's...
That changes things.
That changes things. And in a lot of ways, I mean, it's, of course, wonderful having a kid. It's a ton of work. And it's actually helped shape my work-life balance for the better. Like it's something that forces me to stop working at five, for example, because someone's depending on me. Whereas prior to that, I may have continued on because I was interested or trying to solve the problem. And that's not always healthy. I think I really appreciate how it's given me just, okay, it's 5 o'clock. I can set this down and nothing bad will happen. I can pick it back up in the morning. Before I had a really hard time just getting things out of my head. I would be like, oh, well, I'm going to work on this for till it's finished. Cause if I don't, I'm just going to be thinking about it. I guess I should mention too, that, I work remotely. Basecamp's in, headquartered in Chicago, but we all work remotely. And I think it's hard for me to imagine not working remotely now, like ever in the future, but, it's also really easy to work too much when you're from home. It's really easy to blur the line between work and not work, because often it's right there. You can walk over and work if you want. And even though Basecamp doesn't expect people to work long hours or outside of regular work hours, I think I'd fallen into a pattern of probably working more than 9 to 5, for example. So anyway, it's all to say that like being a parent has kind of helped me in a lot of ways with that. And I have this great little human being who is part me.
Yep. I know how that is. One of the things that I have as a goal for devchat.tv is to cover technologies that are up and coming, things that we're probably going to have to deal with on a more regular basis in the future. Some of these include AI, VR, and one of them is blockchain. So I reached out to one of the experts that I knew, Gregory McCubbin, and we pulled together a few other people and we've started a podcast called Adventures in Blockchain. So if you're looking at blockchain as something that you may want to work in, something that you're curious about learning more about, or something that you just want to keep current on until you have the opportunity to make a career jump and go over and work in blockchain and crypto, then definitely check out Adventures in Blockchain. You can find it at adventuresinblockchain.io.
So I grew up here in Ann Arbor, Michigan. It's a, I don't know, small town. It's about 125,000 people. It's a college town.
Right.
I moved back here having lived in, on the West Coast, but the last stop was in Los Angeles. And doing all that helped me kind of appreciate the things I like about the Midwest and small towns, just being able to like walk everywhere and be outside and be outside of a city really easily. So I don't know if I'll live here the rest of my life, but just traveling and getting out of my home comfort zone actually helped me appreciate what I really like about home.
Yep. Makes sense.
Yeah. So prior to being a dad, I've never been someone who did a ton of programming just in my free time, although I definitely do from time to time. I try to just like get away from the computer outside of outside of work. And so now that that's being a parent, it's mostly my time spent parenting. But prior to that, it was just like getting outside, getting into the woods, taking my dog for a walk, trying to get some exercise, just, you know, turning off screens, trying to do analog things when I'm after spending 8 hours doing digital things. And that increasingly is a hard thing to do, just generally in our world. So, but it's super valuable. There, I can't count the number of times I've solved a problem by walking away from it, going for a walk, getting out, taking my dog for a walk. So that's a recommendation for going for walks for anyone listening, but just also like a reminder that, you know, balancing those things is important.
Yep. Yeah, I'm definitely down with that. I've been training for a marathon. In fact, the marathon's on Saturday. And yeah, just getting away. I mean, I put my earbuds in and listen to something while I'm running, but yeah, just getting the break for my headspace is really important. So I'll back you up on that. That's great. Anything else that I should have asked you about or anything else that you want to bring up?
Well, I don't know if this flows in with the arc that we've been on, but I think something worth mentioning and something that maybe we do a little bit differently at Basecamp. We've been building Ruby on Rails apps and various three versions of Basecamp over 12 years in almost the same way, which I think is really interesting. And that is almost exclusively server rendered HTML, full page HTML views, and HTML that's augmented by JavaScript or progressively enhanced by JavaScript. And like incredibly, that hasn't changed. Like we continue to yield a bunch of benefits and just developer ergonomics by doing that. And it's shaped the way that we write JavaScript, JavaScript libraries, the way we think about JavaScript. You know, I've been writing JavaScript professionally for, I don't know, say 10 years, and with almost the goal of writing less JavaScript. Like that's the thing that is in the back or the forefront of my mind every time I'm writing JavaScript is, do I have to be writing this? And what's the least amount of JavaScript I could write to make this work well? And hopefully that continues to be the pattern. It's a really enjoyable path. And I don't know, I don't want to say it's like frowned upon anymore. Like just the way that applications are built these days are often really complicated. And you can still build applications like you did in 2001 and make them work like 2019 fast. A different way and kind of a less glamorous way. So just wanted to maybe like share that aspect of the way that we work at Basecamp and the way that we write JavaScript is like first and foremost, just for HTML, server rendered HTML. And it's great.
Yep. Yeah. I like the simplicity of the approach, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there are cases where, you know, the traditional front end single page app is kind of a slam dunk. And I think there are some cases where the server rendered is a slam dunk. And having come in from the Rails end of things, I tend to favor having it server rendered and then sprinkling JavaScript on top of it, as DHH says. But that said, you know, I recognize that some aspects of the UI might require a bit more effort than that. And so you may wind up pulling in some more complicated tools. But yeah, just looking for the simple solution you can sprinkle on top is really convenient in a lot of ways.
At least starting there.
Yeah.
And if it hurts, then look for something more involved, more high fidelity. But oftentimes you'll never get there. And when you do, great. There's nothing wrong with going on, bringing in a more involved front-end framework, component, what have you. But just maybe don't make it the starting point every time.
Yep, absolutely. All right, well, let's go ahead and the next segment on the show is picks. Now, you did picks when you were on JavaScript Jabber, so you probably get the gist of what we're doing here. But yeah, is there anything you want to shout out about on the show?
You know, I totally spaced on this section, and I should have gathered up a few links. So that's I'm going to...
I'll throw some out.
Email you and a couple then, as soon as we get off the line.
Yeah, I'll throw some out, and then and then if you think of anything in the meantime, that's great. And if not, then we'll just wrap up.
Deal.
All right. So I'm trying to think of what I was going to pick because I've been chasing so many different things lately. I think the one that I'm most excited about right now is called BombBomb, and what it is it's a way of sending videos in email. I've been using it a lot to reach out to people for the podcasts and for like podcast sponsorships, but not just that. Just connecting with people that I haven't connected with in a while. It's a really terrific tool. So essentially what you do, I have the Chrome plugin that I'm using. And what it does is it allows you to just click a button and then you record the video and then it embeds an animated GIF. And so it shows like I have a sign, a whiteboard, a small whiteboard. And so, you know, I write hi, whoever on it and, you know, wave at them. And then they know that it was made for them. And yeah, it works out really, really well. I really, really like it. So it's bombbomb.com. And yeah, liking that. And then I'm also working on a new program for developers. And it's focused mostly around achieving what you want to achieve in your career and being the kind of developer that, at least for me, that I've always enjoyed working with, you know, so they're the people that are driven, that they love doing what they do. They like to talk about this stuff. They like to challenge themselves. They're continuously learning and they push me to do the same kinds of things. And so, I'm putting together a membership site where we just talk about this kind of thing every week. And, you can get it at maxcoders.io. And the whole idea is to do all that stuff. We're also going to have webinars with other people who I either consider Max Coders or who can add some aspect to this. And I'm also going to do Q&A so that if you have like career questions or specific technology questions that you think I can answer for you, then we can tackle that. And then I'm also going to be putting out a video series on just some of the stuff I'm learning. So over the next while, I think it's going to be Electron, building an Electron app. So I'll be putting all that good stuff together. But yeah, you know, I plan to branch into like React Native and then come back to Rails. And anyway, so you can kind of get the idea of where we're going with a lot of this stuff. So if you're interested in that, go to maxcoders.io and sign up. It's still relatively new. So, you know, if it looks new, you'll probably get it for and be grandfathered in for a lower price. And then as it gets more established, then we'll probably start raising the price. So I want to make sure that the value people are getting matches up with what they're paying. So with less content, it's worth less in my opinion. So we'll work on that. But yeah, I've got the next 3 months worth of content calendared in, and yeah, we're just going to get it done and get people all this kind of stuff. It seems like a lot of the other training sites kind of miss this stuff. It's, hey, do you want to learn React or do you want to learn Rails or do you want to learn Vue? And they don't teach people how to be successful in their careers. And I think a lot of people really miss out on opportunities because they're not ready for them. And I want to just get people there. So helping people get there and then helping them become the kind of coder that you want to work with is kind of the focus. So, yeah.
That's really cool.
All right. You think of anything you want to shout out or should we just wrap up?
We can wrap it up. I plan to email you a few links that you can include in the show notes.
All right, folks, you're going to have to go look at the show notes to see Javon's picks. All right. Well, then, yeah, I guess the other question I have is how do people find you on the internet if they want to reach out or keep tabs on what you're working on or things like that?
Yeah. So the way you spell my name is Javan, and that's my username on Twitter, GitHub. I guess those are the two big ones. And those are the best ways to reach me or find what I'm working on.
Yep. Sounds good. All right, folks, we'll wrap this one up and we'll come back next week with another JavaScript story.
Well, thank you. I appreciate the invitation and good talking to you.
Yeah, you too.
Take care.
Yeah. Bandwidth for this segment is provided by CacheFly, the world's fastest CDN. Deliver your content fast with CacheFly. Visit CacheFly.com to learn more.